Today's shir is Masechta Zvachim Daf Samaches. We will begin on Daf Samaches Amid Beis, and Samach Zayin Amid Beis, eight lines from the top Toshma. We had learned in the previous shir that was a machlokes of Yeshua in the Mishnah, where Yeshua said that if somebody brought an oila on the bottom of the mizbeach l'shem chatos, and he did all the procedure of the carbon chatos, the halacha is that it's considered a carbon chatos because of the concept of hamshocha, as Rav Adi Bar Hava explained at the end of the previous year, where the carbon automatically becomes a carbon chatos. We had then at the end of the year quoted a Mishnah Masechta Kinim, where the Gemara wanted to use that Mishnah to prove that we don't follow the concept of Hamshacha, and the Gemara said that that wasn't a Raya, because Rabbi Yeshua in our Mishnah, when he taught us the Halacha of Hamshacha, only taught it to us regarding one individual. The Mishnah that was discussed, the case over there was referring to a case where it was two women. By two women, even Rabbi Yeshua will not subscribe to the concept of Hamshacha. Toshma. So the Gemara attempts to bring another raya to this question. From, again, a Mishnah Masechta Kinim. The Mishnah says as follows. Toshma, chatas v'oila, stuma u'mefureshes. The case is a situation where you have again, two women, and between the two women, they each have to bring three birds. One had to bring an oil and a chatas, and another one and another bird as an oila. And the other woman was mechuyif to bring an oil and a chatas, and another bird as a carbon chatas. So we have here a total of six birds. Again, six birds. One woman bringing one chatos and two oilas, and one woman bringing two oilas, two chatos and one oila. How were these three pairs brought? How were these three pairs designated? One was stuma, that it wasn't designated which one should be a chatos and which one should be an oila. One was mufureshes, that it was designated that this bird should be a chatos and this bird should be an oila. However, at the time of that designation, they didn't say who will the chatos be for and who will the oila be for. And then there was a kanstuma, that there was absolutely no designation said regarding that pair at all. Says the Mishnah, Asan kun lamalo. If all six birds were offered on the upper half of the Mizbeach, which is the place, as we have been learning, where the carbon oil should be brought, the halacha is machzah kosher or machzah posel. The ones that are supposed to be carbon oil are indeed fine. The ones that are supposed to be carbon chatos are not fine. Mefarshim explain how could such a mistake be made. And the first one explained that the way such a mistake typically would be made is that the Kohen thought that they were all donated karbonis. None of them were karbonis that were brought out of obligation. Now we have a situation, kulon lamata. If all of the karbonis were brought on the bottom half of the mizbeach, so they all brought as a karbon chatos. So here too the halacha will be machtza kosher, machtza posel. The ones that we brought, the ones that are indeed carbon chatos are fine. The ones that are supposed to be carbon oila are a problem. Chetzin lamala, the chetzin lamatin. Half of the kabanas, half of the birds were brought on the upper half. Half of the birds were brought on the bottom half. Eina ksheira, the only pair that will be fine is elahastuma. That's the only pair that's going to be acceptable. Because since it was stuma, since it wasn't clearly said what's going to be the kan choiva and which is going to be the oil and which is going to be the chatos. It was, these kabbanas were only to be designated at the actual time of bringing them. So therefore, that the one of them is a kosher ola, one is a kosher chatos, but you still have four more kabbanas, four more birds that we don't know if they were offered properly. Therefore, the halacha says, the Mishnah, umeschalekes b'nehem. What they should do is, they should bring another pair, and they say, they make a tanai. Each woman makes the following tanai. If it was my oil that was brought, and you still have to bring a chatos, so this bird that will now be brought as a carbon chatos should be for you, and vice versa. Ask the Gemara, we just learned that if it was done partially on top and partially in bottom, the only pair of birds that will be able to be fine with is the pair of birds that was the kantstuma, since the designation only happened at the time of offering. The ilu, however, says the Gemara, hamufarashim, anything that was previously designated would not be fine. Ask the Gemara, amai, why do we say so? Nehi the oil kariv lamata, timshech v'tehevi l'chata soif, even if it ends up that the carbon that was the bird that was originally designated as a carbon oil is the bird that was brought on the bottom, doesn't Reb Shimon subscribe, as Reb Adbar Hava taught us, to the concept of Amshocha? And the concept of Amshocha says that the bird that's brought on the bottom, if an oil is brought on the bottom, it becomes a chatos. And even if we said in the previous year that that's not from one person to another person, here it's all regarding the same person, the person being able to fulfill her requirement. So why don't we subscribe the concept of Hamshacha? So the answer that one would want to suggest, the Chitema, Hadalok Rabbi Yeshua. The Halacha is not following the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, and therefore the Mishnayis and Mestech the Kinim don't subscribe to his concept, and therefore that isn't a viable option. Ask the Gemara, Umi Matzat Amr Hachi. Can we indeed say that the Mishnayis and Mestech the Kinim don't follow his opinion? Quotes the Mishnah now, the last Mishnah, Mestech the Kinim, a very complicated Mishnah, but the proof that the Gemara is now going to prove is to show that the last Mishnah, Masech Tekinim, at the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua is quoted. So the fact that Rabbi Yeshua is quoted at the end of the Mishnah is clearly indication that that Mishnah follows his opinion. Because Toshima, Im Heishish Amar Harei Elai Kain, if a woman says that I have to bring two birds, Emela Zachar. So what we have over here is that the woman, on top of her obligation that the Torah requires that every woman, when she has a baby, when she finishes the Yemei Tahara, which is at the end of day 40 by a boy, and the day of 80 by a girl, should bring a pair of kabbanas, a chatos la'oila, and a chatos, an oif la'oila, and an oif la'chatos. On top of that, the Torah teaches us that she also could obligate herself to bring a pair of birds. Now, the pair of birds that she could obligate herself to bring both have to be an oila. For as we have learned many times, one cannot obligate themselves to bring a karmel chatos. And the case here is, Hisha Sha'amar, if you have a woman that said, Harei Le Kain, I am going to bring a pair of birds, both of them obviously being oila sa'if, and eila zachar. If I have a baby boy, Yolda Zachar, if indeed she has a baby boy, maybe Shtekinim, she has to bring two pairs of birds. Achas Lenidra, one to fulfill her obligation. Vachas L'chavasa. The Mefarshim actually point out that why does the Mishnah speak first about the pair that she's obligated to bring for a neder, and then the pair that she brings for a chayva? Because the pair that she brings for a neder, she doesn't have to wait, as I just mentioned, till the end of the Yemei Tahara. For the pair that she brings for a chayva, she has to wait for a specific time. So if this woman wanted, probably should have brought her nether earlier. But what happened here was that she waited. So what she does is, v'nasan l'kayin, instead of bringing her nether immediately and a chayiv when she can, she waited to bring both pairs to the kayin. Her kayin, so the kayin, when he now has these four birds that this woman is bringing, what he ought to do is tzarech la'asos in shloish l'mal v'achas l'mata. Three of these birds should be offered on the upper half of the mizbeach, and one bird should be offered on the bottom half of the mizbeach. Why? Because as we explained, three of these birds are a carbon oila, one from the obligatory pair, and the two that she donated equal three, and the carbon chatos, which is brought on the bottom half, is the carbon that she was obligated as part of her pair that she has to bring. Now the Mishnah will go on to no less than seven situations, one more difficult than the next, what happened if there was a deviation that the kohen did not do as he was supposed to. Loi also came, if the kohen did not do so, El also, he did shtayim l'malam and shtayim l'mata, he brought two birds on the upper half of the mizbeach, and two birds on the bottom half of the mizbeach, v'loi nimlach, because he didn't consult with the woman and trying to understand what were these birds all about. He assumed that these birds were two pairs that she was obligated to bring. Tzricha lahavi oitreida achas, she has to bring one more bird, v'yakrivena lamala, and she should, if she be brought lamala mechota sikra, because she has fulfilled her obligation with the first chatas and oila brought, she satisfied one of her obligation of her nether with the second oila, but she has not brought her second oila's nether, because one extra bird, because that should have been brought on the top and it was brought on the bottom. So now she has to bring one more oila, and it's an obligation that she has to fulfill. That's the first case of the Mishnah. Next case, Mishnah, if it was Shnei Minim. Again, the Mishnah here is speaking about a case where a woman made a nether to bring two extra oilas when she gives birth. So after she gave birth, she brought four birds to the kohen. But in this case, we know that the birds that could be brought as a carbon could either be Tyrin or Bnei Yoyna. She brought two birds that were Tyrim, and she brought two birds that were Bnei Yoyna. The kohen, thinking that both of these pairs were pairs that she was obligated to bring, brought the Tyrim as a chatos and an oila, and the Bnei Yoyna as a chatos and an oila. And he doesn't remember what he brought first and what he brought second. So what has happened here? The woman has successfully brought the chatas and oila of her chayiv. Those are the first pair that she brought. She also brought one of her oilas of nether, but she doesn't know which species her first oilas nether was. So therefore, she has to bring two more oilas, one a tar and one a ben yoyna. Why? Because the halacha is that whenever somebody brings a pair of birds, both birds have to be the same. They either have to both be Tyrim, or they have to both be Bnei Yoyna. So if she's only going to bring one oila, it may not match the oila she already brought. How can she be sure that her two oilas nether will match? Only if she now brings both a tar and a ben yoyna. Next case is Pir Shanida. Tzrich lavi oit shloisha predis v'men echad. The case over here, again, is a case where the woman made a nether to bring a pair of oilas, but not only did she make a nether to bring a pair of oilas, she made a nether to bring a pair of oilas of a specific species when she gives birth, aside from a chayif. After giving birth, she brought four birds of the same species. Let's say she brought four tarim to the kohen. The kohen made a mistake and brought them as two chatos and two oilas. He thought there were two pairs of chayva birds that she had to bring. Then the woman realized that she might have originally specified bnei yoina as the species of a nether. Thus, the term she gave the kayin would not have fulfilled her nether, even if they were brought properly. So what is the case here? Firstly, we could say that the woman has successfully brought a chatas and oil of chayv. If she had originally specified Torah for her nether, she brought one oil of her nether. If she originally specified bnei yoina, she did not fulfill her nether at all. So what must the woman do here? She has to bring one tar as an oilah, in case she specified tairim, and therefore she already has brought one of her nadarim. She also brings two bnei yoina as oilahs, in case she originally specified bnei yoina as a nether. Until now she's only brought tairim to the Beis HaMikdash, so she hasn't fulfilled her obligation regarding her nether. The next case is Mishnei Minim Tove Arba. Here, again, we start with a woman that she's going to bring two birds of a certain species as a nether upon giving birth. After giving birth, she brought two tairim and two bnei yoina to the kohen. The kohen brought each species as a chatos, as an oilah. And the woman doesn't recall which species she specified to bring as a nether. So what we have here is, either the kohen brought the tairim first and the bnei yoina second, or the bnei yoina first and the tairim second. Whichever pair was brought first satisfied her chayv. Of the pair that was brought second, the chatas is psula, because she has no further obligation to bring a chatas. She only had to bring one kam chatas. The oila of the pair brought second fulfills part of a nether if it is the species she specified in her nether. So what she must therefore do is bring two tairim and two bnei yoina as an oila. The reason she has to do so, the reason she has to bring two more tairim, in case her nether specified tairim, and the pair that was brought second was bnei yoina. So how her nether was not fulfilled at all. She has to bring two more bnei yoina, in case her nether specified bnei yoina, and the pair brought second was tairim. The next case is Kavan Nadra, Sricha Lahavi Oid Chamesh Predas Mimin Echad. Here a woman made a nether to bring a large carbon when she gives birth. The Torah obligates her to bring only a single oil, but she made a nether to bring a large carbon. What was the nether that she made? She made a nether that her carbon will consist of two oilas nether brought with an oilas chayv, all three oilas at the same time. She stated that the two extra oilas should be a certain species, but then she forgot the species. What she did was, she gave four birds of the same species, let's say tairim, to the kohen, three to be brought as an oila, and one as a chatos. The kohen made a mistake and brought them as two chatas and two oilas, as if they were two pair of chayvas. So what now happens is, the first chatas and the first oila brought indeed fulfilled her chayv, but she did not successfully bring three oilas at the same time like she made a nether, since one of the prospective oilas was brought as a chatas. Therefore, she has not fulfilled any of her nether. What must the woman therefore do? She has to bring five oils altogether, three tairim and two bnei yoina. What is the reason for this? She has to bring a tar as an oil, since that's the species of the chayv, and then she has to bring two tairim and two bnei yoina, because she does not remember the species of her nether. The next case, Mishnei Minim, Tavi Shesh. Here, again, we're referring to a woman who made a nether to bring her oilas chayv as a large carbon with two extra oilas when she gave birth. That is, she stated that the oilus chai should be brought simultaneously with the two oilus nedava of a certain species. Then she forgot the species. She gave two tayrim and two bnei yoina to the kayim. The kayim mistakenly brought each species as a chatas and oila, as if they were two pairs of chayvas. So the first chatas and the first oila fulfilled the chayv, but she doesn't know its species. She did not successfully bring three oilas at the same time, like she made a nether, since one of those three oilas, one of the three animals, was brought as a chatas. Therefore the din is, she must bring the two oilas of a nether together when an oil of the same species as the kayim brought for an oilas chayv. To accomplish this, she has to bring six birds as oilas, three tayrim and three bnei yoina. And again, the reason, as in the previous case, she has fulfilled all of her chayv, but none of her nether. She must now bring two oilas of the species of the nether together with one oil of the species with which she fulfilled the chayv. But she doesn't know if the chayv was fulfilled with tayrim or bnei yoina. Therefore, she must bring one tar and one ben yoina. In addition, she doesn't recall which species she specified for her nether. So she has to bring two tayrim and two bnei yoina to fulfill her nether, all six birds at the same time. The last case of the Mishnah. Nasn l'kayin, she gave them to the kayin, ben yidoy man nasna, and she doesn't know what she gave to the kayin, halach v'kayin v'asa, and the kayin went and he did, ben yidoy man asa, and he doesn't know exactly what he had to bring, what he did, with what type of bird, tzorech alavi oy abapreidus l'nedra, she has to bring former birds, shtayim l'chavosoy, v'chatos achas, Ben Azayim Eshtechatos. What happened here was where a woman made a nether to bring two extra oilas when she gave birth. Here we don't have to say, explain the Mepharshim, that these oilas were to be part of a large carbon. What she said was that the two extra oilas should be brought of a certain species, but forgot which species. She gave four birds to the Kayin, but doesn't recall which species they were. The Kayin doesn't remember how he brought them. He might have brought them all as a chatas, or as a oila, or as some as each. In the worst case, we have to be concerned, explained the Mepharshim, that the kohen brought all four birds as a chatas. The woman has thus successfully brought a chatas, not knowing of which species, and she hasn't brought any oilas. Therefore, she has to bring new oilas for her nether and a chayv. Since she doesn't remember what type of species she said in her nether she's going to bring, she has to bring two oilas nether of each species. She must also bring an oilas chayv of each species to match the chatas which she has already brought, but whose species she doesn't know, so a total requirement of six new oilas. Another scenario, that all four birds were brought as oilas. She has to bring a chatas. She also must bring an oilas chayv to match the chatas, because as we said, that when you bring a pair, the two birds have to be of the same type. She has to bring, therefore, an oilas chayv to match the chatas she's about to bring, because the oilas she already brought might have been of a different species than the chatas. To fulfill her nether, she must bring two oilas of each species, since she remembers neither the species of her nether nor the species she already brought. That's why she has to bring a chatas and five oilas. So therefore, by combining the two scenarios that we just described, she has to bring a total of six new oilas. The second scenario we described obligated her to bring a chatas and five oilas, but this oila requirement is satisfied by the six she already needs to bring. Since she does not know which of these two scenarios occurred, she has to bring six oilas as well as a chatas. However, according to Ben Azai, in one situation that we described, the kohen brought all four birds as a chatas. The Chacham, Ben Azai agrees with the din of the Chachamim, that in such a situation, she would have to bring six new oilas. But what was the other possibility we raised? The other possibility we raised was that all four birds were brought as oilas. But as I hold, that her chatas chayv must match the oilas chayv she's already successfully brought. Since she doesn't know the species of the oilas that were brought, she must bring a chatas of each species. The chum hold that she may bring one chatas of either species with one oila to match. Therefore, according to Renazai, she has to bring six oilas on the possibility that the first worst case occurred, plus two chatas besides the six oilas that the second worst case scenario occurred. All of this is now to come to the punchline. Amr Yeshua, Zeresh Amru, Kshuchai Kol Echad, Vilu Kishmeis Kol Shiva. If a person it's like an animal, says Yeshua. Just like an animal, when an animal is alive, it's one animal. But when it dies, you could take that one animal and turn it into seven things. You have two chatzoisris that can be made out of its horns. You can make out of its thighs two flutes. You can make from its skin a toif, a tambourine. From its stomach, you could make strings. And from the Bnei Ma'ayim, you can make a kinar. Here too, we started with a one carbon, and from this one carbon, we came out to seven scenarios. The point being that here we see that according to that Mishnah Masechta Kinim follows the opinion of Yeshua. So now our question comes back. If it follows the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, so why did the Mishnah say that we have to be concerned, as we said at the beginning of our shiur, that the oila that the oila might have been brought on the bottom and the chatas might have been brought on the top? Even if the oila was brought on the bottom, is it not the opinion of Yeshua that an oila that's brought for chatas becomes a chatas? Answers the Gemara, Eim Adam Rabbi Yeshua. This Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Adbar Hav, has been explaining Rabbi Yeshua that a chatas, that an oila could become a chatas, that's only lefukim b'dei mi'ila, that it should not be subject to the halachas of me'ila. L'meisik le'chayva, however, that it should be considered a full-fledged carbon. Chatos, mi'omar, Rabbi Yeshua never said his opinion. Why not? So I saw a number of explanations. One explanation is that the rules of kabonis and the rules of me'ila are different rules. And what Rabbi Yeshua will be acceptable to exempt something from the halachas of ne'ila would not necessarily be his opinion regarding karbonis. Another pshat that I saw is that Rabbi Yeshua is only saying this din midarabonon. Midaraisa indeed would be a kosher carbon, and midaraisa it would not be subject to ne'ila. It's only midarabonon that it's not considered a kosher carbon. A third pshat that I saw from Yecheskel Abramsky in the Sefer Chazon Yecheskel is that we know that any carbon one is obligated to bring, ein karmen chatos ba el min hachulin. A karmen chatos could only come from chulin. So here we start with a situation where the carbon is a carbon oila that we're just trying to transform with the concept of hamshocha into a karmen chatos. Hamshocha cannot take a carbon, which is a carbon choiv, and make it into a chatas, which must come from chulin. Furthermore, the Mefarshim discussed at great length that here the Mishnah said that we're turning the animal after it passes away into seven different things, and one of the things that was turned into, the Gemara says, was to chatzaitris. But we know, asked the Mefarshim, that the chatzaitris that were used in the Beis HaMikdash were made out of silver. And here we're talking about chatzaitris that are made out of the bones of an animal. So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that they had two types of chatzaitris. They had chatzaitris that were made out of silver, but they also needed musical instruments. And musical instruments they wanted to have made out of animal bones. Another pshat is that only in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu was there a rule that the chatzaitris had to be made out of silver, In later times, the chatzotzos could be made out of different material. Another pshat that the Gemara here, when it speaks about the chatzotzos, doesn't speak about the chatzotzos that were used as a musical instrument. The Gemara here is speaking about the chatzotzos that were used as a shofar. Our Gemara here has taught us how something that's one could be turned into seven. When is it turned into seven? Turning into seven is after the animal dies, where we started one animal, as the Gemara described, it could be turned into seven distinct parts. It could be turned into seven distinct parts that are used in the Beis HaMikdash. So I saw a number of pshatim al pidrush, how to understand this Gemara. One pshat in this Gemara is that in this world, we don't really see God in all of His manifestation. Our view is a much more of a one-dimensional approach. After the animal dies, after we come to the Olam HaEmes, then we can have a much broader and much more of a dimension, many more dimensions to understand what happened in this world. Particularly, Mefarshim say, it comes to a tzaddik. Tzaddikim in this world, people don't appreciate. In the Olam HaEmes, the true value of the tzaddikim will be evident. Another pshat, there are many people, when they say Tehillim, before they say Tehillim, they say Yehi Rotzen. In the Yeratzen, they say, Shem Shamarnu Shira B'Olam Haza, Kach Nisked Loima Shira L'Olam Haba. Those of us who have said Shira Takrish Baruch in this world will have the schus to say Shira B'Olam Haba. So, pshat here is similar. That in this world, our ability to say Shira is much more limited than our ability to say Shira will be in the Olam Haba. In this world, the Gemara says it's only one part Shira. By Olam Haba, it will be considered seven parts Shira. I paused it. Says the Mishnah. Continues the Gemara. Says the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kol psulim shmolku, all kabanis that had melika, milukas and psula, even if it was a disqualified melika, any matam basically. As we've been learning, we're discussing at great length, a chattis, a animal, a nevelis oif tar, as we discussed, is matam basabliya. Melika, normally, is certainly not considered a valid form of shrita. Teaches us our Mishnah that even if the malika perhaps wasn't a proper malika, that much it will accomplish that it will be able to prevent it from being tama beis abliya. Again, says the Mishnah, kolam psulim shemalku, if there's a carbon which is pasul, different situations that we'll discuss, lukasam psula, then matam beis abliya. So what is the example? Says the Mishnah, Malka b'smol, if the malika was done with the left hand, oy b'layla, we know that avoid is not supposed to be done at night. Shachat chulin b'fnim, if somebody shechted a oif that's chulin in the azara, or kachim, or somebody did shchitas kachim b'chutz, we know that all the shchit of the kachim had to be done in the base in the azara. Halacha is, even though these avoidas are not considered valid avoidas, that much it accomplishes that ena matamis beis abliya, that these karbonis will not give off the special tumah of nevela beis abliya, ena matamis beis abliya. Continues the Mishnah, molik b'sakin. We know that malik is supposed to be done with the fingernail of a kohen. If instead of using the fingernail of the kohen, they use the knife, and if you use a knife, as the Rishonim explain, that malika could be disqualified for one of two reasons. It's either disqualified because it's a drusa, or it's disqualified because of chalada. In the Gemara Masech Techulin says chalada is that when the knife goes under the simonim instead of top of the simonim. Drusa is that when it doesn't go with a back and forth motion. So therefore, if Malika was done with a knife, it turns the animal into an Avela. Oy, or the next case was Malach Chulin Bifnim. The bird that they did Malika was a bird that's Chulin. They did it in the Azara. Or they did Malika on a bird that's Kachim, but it did it Bechutz, outside the Azara. Or, as we just discussed extensively in the previous part of our shiur, that you're supposed to bring Tyrin Ubnei Yoina, and they brought Tyrin when Shedayin Lagiyaz Mana. The halacha is that Tyrim can only be brought as a carbon once they mature, and he brought the Tyrim before they were properly mature. Or Bnei Yoina could only be brought when they're young, and he brought those Bnei Yoina after Ovaz Manam, when they were too old. Shiyof Shagapa, if the wing of the bird got dried up. Shenismis Eina, or became blind. Shenikta Ragla, or its foot was cut off. All these cases, the Tama Beis Abliya, it will not be considered a valid act, and the Tumas Nevela will continue. It's interesting to point out that here it says that all of these are disqualifications of the bird. So as the Rishonim point out, what disqualified a bird, what's considered a disqualified bird, is not the same as what is considered a disqualified animal. The Torah, we know, we've learned many times, is very strict that any animal that's a balmum can't be brought as a carbon. Here is a new rule. There's a rule of hakriveu nole fuchasecha. Would one bring such a bird to an avodah zarah? And therefore, only birds that are posel are birds that are mechusar aver. And all of these cases are considered mechusar aver. Interesting to note that I saw that the Pesukim discussed the yof shagapa. If the wing is completely dried up, it's considered like a mechusar aver. So the Pesukim discussed Rachman al Tzlan, somebody suffers from paralysis of the left hand. It's dried up. Now, on what hand should tefillin be put on? Some want to say, Ramosha has a discussion about this, and they say that the same principle that's used over here for Yof Shagapa should be used by tefillin. And therefore, as soon as it's not really in use, it should not be used for the tefillin. But I saw that many Paiskim have a different approach. First of all, they say a bird relies on its wings much more than a person relies on his hands. And therefore, for a person, it'll have to be a whole different shear. It'll have to be much more useless than by a bird. Another pshat is yofsha means that it's completely dried up. And Ramosha discusses that if somebody, Rachman Tzlan, suffered a disease of the neural system, what happens is, it's not his hand that's diseased. It's his nervous system that's diseased. Therefore, Ramosha says, unless it's really proven that the hand is completely not getting any flow of blood to it, the person should continue putting blood on the left hand. Furthermore, here it says nismus eina, that if the bird is blind, that's when the bird cannot be used as a carbon. What is pshat that the bird is blind? So Farshim says that the eye is not in its socket. Question comes up regarding about tefillah. The chatchil, somebody who's about mum, should not be pointed as about tefillah. What does that mean, that he's blind? Here too, many Paiskim say that if a person, Rachman Tzlan, is blind, but he still has his eyes, they're unable, Rachman Tzlan, to see, he would be still kosher to be about tefillah. Zeh klal, says the Mishnah rule, kol she psula b'kodesh, ena metame beis abliya, shloya ye psula b'kodesh, metame beis abliya. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos how to understand this line. Rashi says that if the disqualification only began after it was brought into the Azara, that's when it will not be Matama Beis Abliya. But if the disqualification came before, it will be Matama Beis Abliya. Tosfos says it depends if the disqualification happened after you began doing the Avoida. For best example, it would be after it was put into the Kli Sharis. Only then will it not be Matama Beis Abliya. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, the small, if the Malika was done with the left hand, the Laila, Ematam Beis Abliya. Zor, but if it was done by somebody who's not a Kohen, the Sakin, if it was done with a knife instead of the fingernail, then the halacha is metame beis abliya. Ask the Gemara, mashna smol, why do we speak about the left hand still making that the carbon should not be pasul? Because that's halacha, which is a fundamental part of understanding our sugya. We've learned many times that halacha is an ola lo yered. The certain kabbonis, if they put on the mizbeach, they should not be removed. Says the Gemara, that since if the avodah was done with the left hand, it would be allowed to be kept on the mizbeach, therefore, it accomplishes that much that it will not be matama beis abliya. Again, let's read the Gemara. Mash number small, this layich sher b'yom kippurim. Since we find on Yom Kippur that it could be the avodah was done with the left hand, belailo, the simile by night, this lehechshera bevarim bedarim, the burning of the varim bedarim can be done at night. Therefore, the halacha is that it doesn't accomplishes that much that im olala yerid, and since im olala yerid, the halacha is that it's not metama. Ask the Chafetz Chaim, why doesn't the Gemara use the same raya for smol as it does for evarim epidorim? The halacha is, the Gemara is saying, that why is Lila not a disqualification? Because you could do evarim epidorim at night. The halacha is, asked the Chavetz Chaim, you could also do at night, smol. Evarim epidorim could also be done with smol. So since Avaram Bedarm can be done with small, why doesn't the Gemara use Avaram Bedarm as the raya for small? Answers the Chavetz Chaim. Small as far as Avaram Bedarm are concerned, is not pshat there's a psul, and the Torah said that it could be done with the left hand. As far as Avaram Bedarm concerned, it's not a psul at all. For something to be considered hechsheri means that it's normally a psul, and here the Torah gave us a dispensation. No dispensation is required here. Ask the Gemara, if that's our line of reasoning, Azor Nami Islay Hechsher B'Shchita, Azor could do Shchita, so therefore the halacha should be that if Azor did the Malika, it should prevent Tumas Beis Abliya. Answers the Gemara, Shchita Lav Avoidehi. Shchita is not considered an Avoidah, Pashup Shadid, because Shchita doesn't only apply to Kachshim, Shchita also applies to Chulin. Or, because Shchita Shchita applies to Chulin. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Loi, va'omer Rav Zeir, Shchita is par b'zor psula. Shchita done on the paradamu by a zor is posel. O machvei Ravala. And Rav said the reason that it's posel is because the Torah allows of a chuka. The Torah used the words allows of a chuka to say there has to be a kayin. So how can we say that Shchita is not considered an avoidah? Here we see that it is considered a voida. Answered Gemara, you can't bring a raya from Parah Aduma. Shani, Parah, the Kachah Bet Kabayisu. It doesn't have the same level Kedushas Hagof. So I asked the Gemara on the contrary. V'laf Kodakenhu. So we should make the following Kavachoyma. Kachah Bet Kabayis, which is a lower level Kedusha, Bay Kuhuna. Kachim is Bayach, Mabaye. Answered the Gemara, that's not a question. Amar Shish Breder of Adi. Needed to have a Maris Nagoyim. Just like we find a Maris Nagoyim, the Lava Voidihi, that the Torah says it's not an Avoida, Uboi Kahuna, and yet requires Kahuna. So we see that they don't travel together. Interesting to note that our Gemara, which is comparing the Avoida of Maris Nagoyim to the Avoida of the Koyin on the Paraduma, say the Paiskim, that just like the Avoida of the Paraduma was done with wearing the big de kahuna, so too the avoid of maris nagoyim should be done with the kohen wearing the big de kahuna. Okay. I didn't know how to pause it. It's still working. I can't stop this.
Is it stopped? You
want to
stop it?
This is stopped.
That is stopped.
No. This is stopped.
But it's great out.